All right. Good morning to all of you, and welcome to the very first Bitcoin Veterans Spaces. Thank you all for being here. I have with me today Coleman. Some of you may or may not know him, but Coleman is a former combat infantry guy. He's a husband. He's a dad. He's the handler of Draco. That's how he wanted me to introduce him. Draco, for those of you who don't know, is a badass Malinois. Coleman is a canine trainer. He trains dogs to do very nasty things to people. Maybe that's not the best way to explain it. But that's some of the stuff that
he does. And we've been kicked off.
He's going to be helping co-host and occasionally host every now and then. We've got Jordan on the operation Libertas handle. Jordan is a former Green Beret and an officer, although we won't hold that against him. Gabe Lord, the head of Operation Bitcoin, former Army guy. Thank you for being here. My good friend, Shane Hazel, former combat Marine, Force Recon guy, one of the finest men that I know. Love this guy. Tomer Strohlite, what's up, Tomer? Thanks for joining us.
Hey, guys. I got invited up, so I accepted the invitation. I'm excited for this new space of yours. I hope you guys can do it reasonably often. There's been a vacuum of quality conversation that I think you guys are really going to fill with interesting, exciting, controversial, and fascinating topics. So well, my expectations are high.
Yep. I can tell you that they'll probably be controversial. I don't know about all that other stuff. But knowing these guys that we've got up here, it should be definitely controversial. Rick Thomas in the audience throwing you an invite to speak. You should get up here. We have a bunch of other guys in the audience that I just want to shout out real quick. We've got Wade, we've got Mickey, Randy K throwing you an invite if you want to come up here. AC throwing you an invite if you want to come up here. Now, here's the thing. This spaces is not going to be just for veterans or just about veterans. We want this to be open for everybody. And by everybody, I mean whether somebody's a Bitcoin or not a Bitcoin or curious about Bitcoin, wants to learn about Bitcoin. All the things I really want to focus the future of this show on people who want to learn about Bitcoin. If you're already a Bitcoiner, yes, we're going to talk about Bitcoin stuff. But it's not going to be focused on content specifically for people who already know about Bitcoin. I would love to keep it focused on new people. We have a whole host of new people coming into Bitcoin in this new bull market that's going to be happening over the next couple of years here. And they need someone to help them. And if there isn't someone that's focused on them, then that's a travesty, because we have a lot of really, really smart people who can help folks. So that's what I would like to see this turn into. I probably won't be the host every day. I would love to have a bunch of other guys up here doing this, but you know, there was a time when I couldn't have done this, but because of BV and because of what BV's done, by BV, I mean Bitcoin Veterans, we're able to basically have Jacob, my old Cafe B producer, every day. And that wouldn't have been possible before. So that's really freaking cool. And I'm just looking forward to the future of this, because like, to me, there's a mission here. Some of you guys have heard me talk about the mission before. The mission hasn't gone away. It's still here. It's still real. It's still incredibly important to all of us. And with that, I'm just going to kind of let you guys, I want to go around a little bit. I want to hear from Shane. I want to hear from Gabe. I want to hear from Jordan, of course, Coleman. And then we'll kind of open it up for discussion. But I do want to talk a little bit about why the hell we're doing this, so people understand. Like, Shane and I don't know when it was. It was more than a year ago. Got together, and like, he had been popping into spaces over the years for a while. chatting with him and getting to know him a little bit. And then, you know, one day in Miami at one of the Bitcoin conferences, this gigantic, like, gorilla Sasquatch dude comes rolling up to me and he's like, "Alex." And I'm like, "Holy shit, dude, it's you," like, in person. Gave him a gigantic hug. We were instant friends. So, Shane.
Some would say lovers.
Well,
that's okay. You know, Navy, Marine Corps, it's just kind of one of those things, right, guys? Good morning, everybody. It's good to be here. This is awesome. I am super stoked to come in here and hear you guys giving it hell first thing in the morning at 10 o'clock. You know, it's not one of those things I get to do often because the world is turning and things got to get done. But a little over a year ago that we started this thing, and to see what it's become, unbelievable. And you know, this was really just a couple of guys that said, there is so much here. There's such a market gap. And I don't even like to refer to it as that, but that's what it is. I mean, you're looking at 16, 18 million veterans in the US alone, not to mention all the guys and gals on active duty, out there. And they, to understand what they're doing and what they did do in the past, and to now inject a Bitcoin understanding into that, this knowledge, and it's really just planting seeds. I mean, these guys are some of the brightest people on earth. You know, there's that old myth, I think, that kind of went around for a long time that, you know, all the dumb, you know, guys and gals went into the military because they couldn't hack it in the real world, when that's not the case. You know, when you look across the board, these guys have some of the best testing in the world. They got a drive that won't quit, and just they're some of the most amazing people on earth. And to now be able to plant seeds with these people, and you know what we've been able to do in terms of planting seeds, and then have all these other veterans out there with tons of actual real life experience and figuring it out where they can't fake it, where proof of work is, you know, just daily life. That has come home now, and to see, you know, this, you know, what we've been able to do in a year, and I should say we, all the Bitcoin veterans, and that's, you know, the veterans, it's the people who are on active duty, it's everybody that's joined this group that's just been absolutely working their asses off day and night around the clock for the past year, you know, without pay. You know, just the idea that you can get behind a movement that is not nihilistic, that is passion, that is an education. That's something that I saw from the very beginning, is that Bitcoin has so much to offer in terms of changing the incentive structure of the world, from the ability to defund wars. I mean, first and foremost, defund the military-industrial complex and stop this insanity that, you know, every time we turn around, you know, we're trying to fight a new war, whether it's Ukraine, whether it's, you know, Iran, whether it's China. To be able to defund that entire apparatus and call it out for what it is and stand as a bulwark, you know, for the future, you know, generations, and leave a legacy that in this time, I mean, you guys are literally probably 1774 in terms of timing right now. I mean, you're that early. Everybody's wound up, everybody's, you know, super tight. And this group that came together, that put in all the work, is calling for peace, that knows battle and war and blood and heartache and post-traumatic stress better than anybody else out there. These people are guiding people in the future, and they are, you know, they're doing it in a peaceful way, and they're using technology to do it, which cannot be, you know, derailed unless we let it be derailed. And I think, you know, the number of people in the space with giant brains and those people that will defend those people is only growing, and it's growing fast at this point. But yeah, I'm elated to be here. You know, it was a great idea, Alex, by the way, to do all this kind of stuff. But I'm tickled, and I can't wait to see where all this kind of stuff goes.
I want to piggyback off of that a little, talking about all the, like, how far we've come in a year. And we say this on the podcast a lot, but, like, it's not just, you know, us, it's all the guys in the background working. And what I really love about us starting in this spaces is it's the opportunity to take all these guys who have been working behind the scenes and elevate them up and they can kind of take over the reins of kind of this next chapter in Bitcoin Veterans and this new project we're opening up. And I'm really excited to see all the cream that has been rising to the top, seeing these guys excel and getting to watch other people see them excel, because what's been happening in the background has just been absolutely amazing. So I'm super stoked for all the new BVs that are coming up that all of you guys are going to get to meet. And I'm glad, thank you for everybody that's tuned into this. This is awesome.
All right, let's get one more comment from Gabe, and then we'll switch off of BV stuff, because I'm sure people here are all here just to hear about BV, or to talk about Bitcoin and learn about stuff. But I would like to give Gabe a second to talk about, like, maybe Operation Bitcoin or whatever.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. This is awesome. Hell yeah. Let's move into this next phase of our operation. And yeah, echoing what everybody has been saying so far, this is, you know, once a week is not enough. We've got an entire group of guys and gals that are just doing amazing things on the mission 100%. And they're doing the work, and we're here to move into this next phase. And you know, we have discovered something that I believe many of us have already known, and that is that we have a massive group of people in our country and around the world that are looking for a purpose-driven mission and a community to be a part of that is going to affect real and important and actually necessary change in the world. Many of us are veterans of the forever wars, and many of us will be damned before we see our children be taken and put on the front lines of those same wars that are being fought needlessly. And we believe that we have an opportunity to make an impact on that. And so that's why we're here, and that's what we're doing. A big part of my focus, as you mentioned, Alex, is Operation Bitcoin, which is a nonprofit that I spun up that is focused on bringing Bitcoin education to military veterans. And so we started up back in 2023. Things are popping off and they're going live. We've got some great things that are taking place so far. But the idea is, you know, it's like Shane said in the beginning, I mean, we've got between 16 and 18 million military veterans in our country alone. And there's 200,000 more that are joining the civilian ranks every single year. Okay, they're not staying in the military because they're sick of it. They're done with it. And so they're coming out here and they're looking for that mission to get involved in, that mission that could not be accomplished being a part of the system that they were a part of. And this is that opportunity for them to get plugged into it. And so what Operation Bitcoin does is we go out and we find them, we go to where they are, we bring basic Bitcoin education and introduce them to Bitcoin, not just as the realest, hardest money that the world has ever known, but also to the fact and the realization that Bitcoin is truly about freedom, which everyone here, I'm sure, is aware of. It's about freedom. And this is what that mission is. And this is the mission that we go out and we seek out veterans and active duty service members to bring them on to this mission. And so that's what we're about. And we can jump into all that later. But it's a thrill to be a part of this. I see some of the most hardest working, highly skilled individuals in this room right now that have joined us, and it's an exciting moment to be alive.
All right. Coleman, do you have anything you want to add or interject here?
Can you guys hear me?
Yep, loud and clear, man.
Not perfect. I think it doesn't matter what branch you're in or which state of your enlistment you're in. I think everyone should try and make an effort to get out here to the spaces. Just because when we did the Nashville conference, I forgot what it was like to hang out with just a group of veterans. And for myself, I outside of Twitter, I never met any of you in person. And as soon as we got together on that range day, it was like we were all friends. And I always forget that's what it's like when you get that group of veterans together. It doesn't matter what branch you're in, what year you served, or what you did for that matter. It's just like we're all our lost long brothers. And it's just cool to get us all together. And this is all organic. Like, I don't think people know that we're not getting orders from above to go ahead and start this mission and get everything done. We're all just taking the initiative to do it. So if anyone, even if your part is just to hop on this pod or on the space and just listen to 10, 15 minutes every day. That's really all it takes to help spread this message.
Cool. All right. Appreciate all you guys big time. And you guys want to talk about some Bitcoin stuff? Go ahead, Gabe.
I like Bitcoin. Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. It's again. I just actually came back from breakfast with a friend of mine who is he contacted me and he had some questions. He's not a veteran, but he knows what I've been up to, and we haven't seen each other in a couple of years. And he wanted to get together and have some coffee and just kind of catch up and chat. And it's funny because people in general, I'm finding that maybe we wouldn't have expected before, are jumping straight through the you know, the day trading and the you know messing around with the shit coins and all those other things. People in general, I'm seeing, at least in my experience, are jumping straight to the independence aspects of Bitcoin. They're jumping straight to the implications on freedom at this point. And I wonder how much of it just has to do with the current state of affairs in our nation and around the world. But my friend did not want to talk about, you know, how do I invest in Bitcoin, and, you know, when's a good time to buy, when's a good time to sell. His questions were about, how do I protect myself from the things that I'm continuing to see happen within the government that are taking away my purchasing power and my ability to save for my grandchildren's futures. How do I do that? How do I protect myself from this force that is trying to take away everything that I've worked for? And it went straight into that, which was encouraging, but it's also an indicator where people's minds are and what levels of receptiveness and the different aspects of Bitcoin that certain people may be more receptive to right now. Because people are feeling that squeeze. They're feeling that that threat against their sovereignty and that threat against their life's work and their wealth being taken away from them. And I believe that it's an interesting time, and it's a very timely moment for people like veterans who tend to be somewhat adversarially minded and consistently conducting threat assessments. I think it's an important time for us to enter into this conversation on a larger scale and to be able to share this perspective with people, because people are looking for it. People are looking for that leadership, and people are looking for a strategic approach to protecting themselves and to protecting their families and their families' wealth.
Philip, good morning. How are you doing, man?
Good morning. I'm doing well, son of a USMC vet, so proud to be here, proud to represent the Marines. I just want to say one statement and kind of get your guys' and gals' thoughts on this. Transparent tax spending via nodes in the Lightning Network, you know, you can see where transactions are going.
Not sure I understand what your question is.
So, say each, I might run for governor, so let's just go there, shout out Shane. Each state house has a node, and it's viewable by every Bitcoiner. And right now we can't see where our money is going, but if we kind of have a public node and you have a channel with your state, you can see where your money is going. Is that a possibility? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense for a while. You know, and this obviously taxation is that first and foremost, right? But obviously there's also a transition stage. And, you know, as we are in this continuum of transitioning from a fiat standard into a Bitcoin standard, yeah, you know, it's going to be a hard, you know, hard fight. And I think the more politicians that come into office will probably be, you know, Bitcoin, I'd say that they're going to be Bitcoin advocates like ourselves. And at a certain point, as they continue to decentralize, there's less and less to pay for. This is where I think Jeff Booth's book, you know, the Cost of Tomorrow, really comes in. Is these guys are going to have to, they're going to have to come up with a different system. I think that transition system, yeah, you can see where everything is going through addresses and who's spending what on individual things. But I think as we continue through this, and I think it's going to be fairly rapid at a certain point, you're going to get into a point where the services that are provided by quote unquote government, especially mostly at a local and state level, those are going to be things that you want to pay for, because this idea of force and coercion just doesn't work in Bitcoin. You know,
I want to hop in here for a sec, Shane, get your thoughts. Well, first of all, the 16th Amendment is un-American. It's anti-libertarian. We're both libertarians. I'm with the, I'm standing up the Libertarian Party in my county. We're almost there. But the taxes should be an option, and I'd probably still pay them. I don't want to see the state disintegrated, but I think giving the people the option should be an option. I have problems with the 16th Amendment. Thoughts?
Yeah, repealing the 16th and 17th Amendment would be fantastic. And I think there's some questionality on the constitutionality of it being passed in the first place. But yeah, I mean, I think you're on the right track. And I mean, I don't want to belabor this much, but you know, it's one of those things where as we go forward, you know, they're going to have to provide a service that you want to pay for. In the meantime, you know, being accountable. I don't think any politicians right now, the fiat politicians, want accountability. They don't want any of that. And so, you know, as more and more Bitcoiners come into office, I think that's definitely not only a probability, but it's likely.
Yeah, our governor's termed out here in 2 years. So I'd love your support. I'd love to learn from you, Shane, and your process and what you went through. And yeah, I'm just here to learn and yeah, be a Bitcoiner in office for sure in the great state, Buckeye State.
If I can help, I'd be happy to.
All right, thanks for sharing. Philip, good morning. Wade Hoke, what's up, brother?
I just wanted to bring up that I'm not an expert on Lightning, but from what I understand, Lightning somewhat protects your privacy, where it's theoretically possible to track somebody's Lightning wallet and transactions. It's not necessarily easy, which is a good thing, whereas we might not be able to track a Lightning transaction done by a legislator, but it is a currency of enemies. So if we can protect our privacy through Lightning, that's a good thing, probably not a bad.
So I would have a public address that I would register. I'd be okay with that. Obviously, we can spin up as many as we want, but I'd have one specifically for my state and my local, like, you know what I'm trying to say, something like that, where I claim it, it's mine, and I can prove it, just that one.
Oh, gotcha. Gotcha.
Terrence, how's it going, man? It's been a while since I've been in the spaces with you.
It has been a while. And I don't have any facial hair, so I'm wondering if I fit in on the stage today. I'm looking around, and it looks like I need to grow a beard.
American, right? You fit in. You're American, right?
It's okay. Good. Yeah, I'm an American. I'm not a veteran, but I appreciate veterans. I've learned a lot from you guys and your podcast. So it's really cool to see that you guys are doing a daily thing, and it's great seeing Tomer and Mickey and. Yeah, I think Tomer was saying it early on. I was really excited, Alex, when you posted about this, because I think a lot of people have been missing some higher signal things for the last 2 weeks. And it's been fun popping in and out of their spaces. And honestly, I've enjoyed sleeping in a little bit because I have to get up early for these things. But it's exciting to get up and talk to a lot of based Bitcoiners who love Bitcoin and want to teach and educate. So I'm just super, super stoked here, and it's really good to see Jacob back there behind the host handle. I've missed him too, so yeah, just enjoying the ride and enjoy listening to you guys, so thank you for the invite.
You bet. And so it's clear to everybody in the room, the purpose of the panel, whenever we do this, is not going to be just to have speakers who are veterans. The purpose is to have just all Bitcoiners that want to come up and talk about stuff, as long as you're not disruptive, come on up here. You know, we're just looking for good signal, and we're looking to teach new people, and that's it. So It'll be hosted and run basically by veterans, but I mean, we're just providing the space, and I want this to be a crucible, just like, you know, other spaces I've hosted in the past, where we take, you know, the truth and you know, take a concept or a question and just put it in the crucible and burn the shit out of it and hope we get the truth out the other side. Phil?
Shane, just what advice do you have for me? I have about 2 years. We're going to get my campaign going November 6th. And yeah, for me and just for any Bitcoiners in here who may gather the courage to run in their local, state, federal run as we're libertarians too. Let's talk about that. But all that, what do you got for us?
Oh boy. All right. So first and foremost, you're going to have to control your own narrative. So if you don't have a presence like a podcast or something, you should probably start one. And you should, you know, first things first is you've got to get well known. I don't know if the Libertarian Party is actually one of those things that's viable. And as we continue down this path to, you know, hyper Bitcoinization, it will be more viable to run as a Bitcoiner. I don't know about the party's things. I think honestly, Bitcoin's going to create kind of this this party. Well, I should say it's not going to be an official party. I think there are going to be people that run on the tickets where you can run, because these guys are going to protect ballot access. They always have, they always will. So at some point, I think it's mostly incumbent, after controlling your own message and getting out there and being, you know, just a rock star of a communicator, first and foremost, be a great communicator and go out there and control your own message. I think this message is more or less to Bitcoiners. At some point, we got to spend Bitcoin. And I know politicians are the last people on earth that Bitcoiners want to support with their hard-earned, amazing Bitcoin. The problem is until we start doing this, and then, you know, it may be a little too early, but at some point, we're going to have to. If we want to see change, we're going to have to put Bitcoiners into power positions. I think that's best done at, first and foremost, executive. So good job on running for an executive position. But that also includes sheriff. So if you're out there and you're a Bitcoiner, run for an executive. Don't run for Congress, because Congress can't do shit. One person in Congress, you're not going to do anything in terms of moving the ball. You might be a Thomas Massey, who's fantastic on a whole bunch of subjects, but in terms of getting anything done or getting anything passed, you're not. And so as the executive, you can sit there and be like, hey, this is in line with the Constitution and this isn't in line with the Constitution. We can go this route. The second, you know, and like I was saying, is the other thing is Bitcoiners are going to have to hold up Bitcoiners. And, you know, there's going to be a vetting process for that. I don't know. Maybe Bitcoin veterans can help with that. Maybe that's something that, you know, we can stand up inside of Bitcoin veterans is saying, hey, you know, this guy's actually a pretty reputable person. And he deserves as much support as we can give him. And then I would say you're probably going to need to get yourself on one of the mainstream tickets, as much as it pains me. And I hate to say that, you know, the whole libertarian thing right now, is such a damn debacle and mess.
I
wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole.
Just run as a Republican and take over the Republican Party. I mean, communists did it to the Democrat Party. There's no reason you guys can't do it to the Republican Party.
That's right. I mean, Ron Paul obviously ran as a Republican, and that guy is the most libertarian guy that we've ever had in Congress, you know, minus maybe a Thomas Massey.
You make a lot of great points. You're right about the spending, because we're fighting Fed printing and they have no problem spending. And the opposite of that is spending Bitcoin. That's a tough uphill battle. But I was watching a Simple Proof as well.
No, it's not.
Yeah,
no, it's not.
Let me hear
you. Yeah, absolutely. You can spend Bitcoin if you want to. Like, anybody who tells you can't spend Bitcoin, like, don't listen to them. If you need to learn how to do that, get with somebody who's already living that life and learn directly from them how to do it. Plenty of people are doing it.
I watched your Simple Proof episode 2. Someone's already reached out to me. But the we have a Bitcoin caucus too, Libertarian Bitcoin Caucus.
Okay, we're gonna stop right there.
Yeah.
And just thank you for being up here, Philip. Yeah, we appreciate it, man. And hopefully we'll have you back another time. I want to move on a little bit.
Yeah.
Mickey Koss, let's hear from Mickey. And what's on your radar, brother? As far as Bitcoin, I know you posted a bunch of stuff in the Nest.
Yeah, I was just trying to channel my inner Dr. Death, and I found a bunch of posts on, you know, global liquidity measures. And so I think largely the Fed is expected to pivot next month. Looks like a lot of other central banks have already done that. So if you scroll back a couple on, it's Quinton. Unfortunately, he's got .eth in his name, but it's a good chart, which just sort of shows the Preston Pish thesis that every time they print, it's going to get bigger and bigger. And so not only do they have to continually print, the cycles are going to get larger and probably closer together. And so Bitcoin is the great absorber of liquidity. It is going to outperform everything. And that's just the way, that's the way you protect yourself. That's the way you protect your family. And that's why we Bitcoin. So it's about to happen, gents. Buckle up. Not financial advice.
So what are you saying? People should buy Bitcoin, maybe?
No, definitely not. They should learn it, probably. But if you just buy Bitcoin, like, you're probably going to be retarded and end up losing it.
Words of wisdom. Good morning, Dombe.
Yo, what is up, y'all? Alex, good to see you in the morning lineup again. And congrats, y'all, on the new spaces.
Thank you. We're very excited. And yeah, like Jacob's the guy behind the handle, this is going to be a podcast. Going to be Monday through Friday, every day, 10 a.m. We're going to need some help hosting, co-hosting, because I'm certainly not going to do it every day. I'll be in here for the first month or so, whatever, pretty consistently, but then we're going to start trading off the whoever's the host. So we're just going to provide the space, basically, and we want to make sure that it's well run, that it's smooth, that people aren't talking over each other, and that we're bringing signal. By signal, I mean information and content that's useful for people who are new and curious about Bitcoin, and for people who are already Bitcoiners, but mostly to try to keep people guided in the right direction, because there's going to be a ton of new people coming into Bitcoin here over the next couple of years. Tomer Strohlight, you have any thoughts?
Give me just a second. There's a little mess here I have to clean up, but I'll be right back.
Dom was late today because he's like, why is Alex starting up a space, Bitcoin veterinarians? He's like, that's kind of odd. He figures it out eventually, though.
That one's pretty good, Terrence. That one's pretty good. That was all right.
Well, you're always thinking about those Dalmatians at the firehouse, right? Taking care of them.
Always.
By the way, just a little plug for In the Nest. You'll find a link for the Daily Intelligence Bulletin. This is something that's put out by Bitcoin veterans every day. It's a lot of geopolitical stuff, but if you're looking for a news dump, this is prepared by a former Navy SEAL who did a lot of sort of intel-related things in the military, briefings and whatnot. So check that out. We may pull content from that occasionally as we're doing these, but I encourage you guys to take a look. Tomer?
Hey, I'm back. Sorry about that. My dog made a bit of a mess somewhere that I needed to clean up. I guess what I wanted to talk about in your spaces, particularly Bitcoin veterans, like, what's the connection between people who fight for and defend their values and Bitcoin? It takes me to thinking about three people's work, one of them being some of the stuff that I wrote. But in particular, Eric Kaysen and Jason Lowery. Eric rightly points out in his setup series, his set of essays, which is published as a book called Crypto Sovereignty, that there has always been a desire to protect, defend information. And it's been particularly the case in military conquest, because information is valuable, not just as money, but information is valuable if you know the moves of your opponent, or if you're coordinating with your colleagues, with your comrades. You want that information to remain private between you. And so cryptography itself has always been a tool of the military. You know, I'm careful because when I bring in Jason Lowry, he definitely used the word as a weapon in trying to describe Bitcoin. And I think that that's a pretty controversial topic. And if you guys want to talk about that, I'd be happy for that conversation. But Lowry also points out that Bitcoin, because of its use of cryptography and power and energy, it overlaps with a lot of things that are military in nature. We ultimately, as Bitcoiners, use Bitcoin to defend our property, in particular to defend our property, which is Bitcoin, the currency units, with the Bitcoin protocol, which is the protocol that allows us to redistribute and protect our property. And so, and in particular, the values that adhere inside of Bitcoin make us, in a sense, fight for it. The one article of mine that I wanted to bring up, which I called Cyber Soldier Freedom Fighter, was all about the block size war, which is interesting that we had an incident in the history of Bitcoin that is referred to as a war, but there was no violence, there was no blood spill, there was no ammunition spent. There was a battle of ideas and the use of the understanding of how the protocol works that ultimately led to a split in the community. Bitcoin Cash forked off from Bitcoin, but it's a much more nuanced and complex story than that simple thing. And there were people who dedicated a lot of their time and energy to fighting that war by issuing information in the form of explanations and directives and in terms of how to protect and preserve what was most important about Bitcoin, which is its ability to protect property. So I'm going on a bit of a rant here, but I'm trying to fan a conversation about the connection between Bitcoin and what people who sign up for military service are after, that overlaps, which is the protection, preservation, and defense of certain values, and then that people are prepared to do many things for, including risk their own lives. So maybe I'll just pause it there. If this is a conversation topic that you want to continue to elaborate on and discuss, I'm happy to. Otherwise, I just thought I'd throw it in there. And this being your inaugural podcast, let's talk about veterans and why they're so interested in Bitcoin.
Yeah, I agree. That's definitely a worthwhile topic, man, because a lot of times people don't understand, A, veterans at all, B, or where we're coming from, or C, why we might be interested in Bitcoin. So why don't we spend a minute and do that? And Coleman, let's hear from you, man. I'd love to hear your story. Why are you a Bitcoiner?
I kind of stumbled into it. I read The Creature of Jekyll Island right around when COVID started. I thought the whole world is going down, so I started reading a lot, and I kind of stumbled upon that. But I need to give credit where credit is due. I listened to a podcast. It was called The Survival Podcast, and he talked about just kind of how to survive things, create communities, and he started mentioning Bitcoin quite a bit. So that's kind of how I stumbled into Bitcoin. And my story is I bought it right at the tippy top in 21. Right in November when it was going up, everyone said it's going to go up to 100,000, and I FOMO'd in. I took way too much money and put into it, and then I watched it crash. And then they said, don't worry, business, it's going to go right back up. I put more money into it, and then I rode that whole ship all the way down to 16,000. And for myself, out of a necessity, just so I didn't go crazy and have to, you know, tell my wife and family, I just put all our money into this thing that is going to zero. I really started studying it, investing into it, or investing my knowledge into it and time and resources. Read everything I could about it and just kind of understand that or understood that this is kind of unstoppable. So that's kind of how I got into it. It didn't really answer Tomer's question of why the military veterans like Bitcoin. I think, I don't really know how to answer that. I think there's a lot of overlaps in the question and in the answers. Nothing is guaranteed. So when we serve, nothing is guaranteed. There's a lot of risk, and there's also still a lot of risk with Bitcoin. It's not unstoppable. There's a lot of things that can cause hiccups. I'm kind of rambling now, so I'll go ahead and pass that off.
Hey, do you mind if I'm going to jump in here real quick? And first of all, thanks, Coleman, for sharing that. I hadn't actually heard your origin story yet, but something, Tomer, to what you were saying about why we see military veterans embracing Bitcoin and getting on this mission. I think it goes even a little bit further than just people that literally served in the military. And I think a lot of it really just goes into a larger warrior mindset. And as you touched on, you even used the words preserving and protecting and defending. And it's interesting that you use that word choice, because those words are pulled directly from the Section 1, Clause 8 of the Constitution, which is the presidential oath of office, where the president swears or affirms to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. And so that individual is meant to be a representation of a sovereign nation. Whereas something that I've observed and experienced myself is from the warrior mentality mindset, there is an inherent call to preserve, protect, and defend something that is larger than ourselves, the larger body that we are a part of. And that obviously is Bitcoin. And we even use the word, you mentioned Lowry's approach to it and how he sees it as a weapon and or a method of power projection that can ensure that we won't have to find ourselves in a position where kinetic or violent force is actually required. But it really is, when you look at it, when you study it, and just like Mickey said, all the people need to do is learn about it, study it, learn about it. And when you do, then you'll see how it does serve as a force that can preserve, protect, and defend humanity at a very core fundamental level. And it enables us to exercise that calling within us to, quote, fight for the people that we're dedicated to protecting, to fight for the larger community that we're a part of. And kind of touching on a theme that's come up here a few times, in addition to that, in addition to responding to that internal call that I believe that most people do have within them, whether or not they enlisted in military force or not, I believe that many people have that call inside of them. And many Bitcoiners specifically, military or non-military, they carry that calling inside of them. And this is that opportunity to respond to that call and to serve out that purpose, that deeper internal purpose that many of us sense, but not everybody has the courage to pursue. And I think that the community aspect of that common shared experience of being in the military is something that many of us are finding, that many Bitcoin veterans in general, that's something that ties us together, like right out of the gate. And so that community-driven aspect of it, of being a part of a shared mission to preserve, protect, and defend is something that I believe is attractive to many military veterans. Dom Bay, you got your hand up. What's up?
Hey, from a civilian side, and something I kind of brought up, I just wanted to add to that, and that was really well put. I brought up when I was a guest on the show, this concept of, the frontline military, and there's some similarities in first responders too, having to frequently enter chaotic environments, and the whole foundation of, you know, entering, whether it's a battlefield or an emergency situation, is that you are entering a zone that is chaotic and lacks control. And so, you know, how do we prepare for that? We train on the items that we can rely on. And those are tools, potentially. It could be your weapon, your team. And, you know, to Tomer's, I get the question too a lot with, like, how come firefighters are drawn to Bitcoin? And the more we learn about the financial system, the more we learn that it is a chaotic war zone type of environment with lots of people trying to withdraw value and extract value and manipulate. And Bitcoin is very similar to, you know, a breathing apparatus for a firefighter or a weapon for a military personnel. That control that you can rely on, especially when you learn self-custody, is that, hey, there's a lot of things I may not be able to control in this environment, but this I can count on. And if I put in the time to learning self-custody and mastering it, it is a tool that will help me navigate, you know, the chaos that is the financial world and having ownership of what you worked hard for.
I want to say good morning and welcome to Lisa Huff. Thanks for joining us, Lisa. And then go to Wade Hoke.
My late high school years were during the first Iraqi Gulf War and watching the play-by-plays on CNN. And it was all about the people in Kuwait and liberating Kuwait. And then it was all about liberating the Iraqis. And it just seemed that, you know, the good thing to do was to go be the police of the world and help the people out. And that's more of where I stand with it. The freedom aspect, the all of the things that we do, doesn't just free one nation by going on in as a military, but it frees everybody and allows them to participate in the world's economy. So no war is as important as freedom money. So the parallels are everywhere. It's just this is a global initiative rather than just a police action in one single nation.
Something that I think is really interesting is as an officer in the military, when you take your oath, it's to support and defend the Constitution only. And so you're not saying you're going to obey anybody. You're saying you're going to support and defend the Constitution. That's pretty much it, right? But what with the system we currently have is, like, you have to trust Congress to pass stuff that's not unconstitutional. You have to trust the executive branch not to abuse their power. And you have to trust the courts to honestly and justly enforce and make sound rulings. And you have to trust all of those three parties to not collude together to just, you know, completely ignore the rule set that is the Constitution. And so Bitcoin creates a new system where the rules cannot be interpreted conveniently, to put it nicely, right? And so it's a rule set that cannot be broken, unlike the Constitution, which relies on humans to play by the actual rules as they're written. So that's something that I've come to really appreciate about Bitcoin.
Lisa Huff, thanks for joining us. Good morning. How are you doing?
Hey, guys. Congrats on launching the show. I have missed hearing Alex's voice in the morning. So welcome back, Alex. You are the Twitter space host of all Twitter space hosts, and I am thrilled that Bitcoin Veterans is doing this because collectively, you guys are my favorite people in Bitcoin, other than my favorite little person in Bitcoin, but you guys are on the mission. And Gabe, when you were speaking, what you were describing on preserve, protect, defend, to me, obviously not a veteran, but it's so deeply rooted in being a parent and being the head of a family that, you know, once you figure out Bitcoin and you have a family around you, you realize, like, if they're not going to get on this mission, then I am even doubly motivated to get on the mission for them, because, you know, you don't want anybody around you to suffer. And this is a way for, you know, for us to not only lift ourselves and our family, but, you know, obviously to Wade's point, it's impactful for everybody around the world. So anyway, welcome back to Twitter Spaces, Alex. You have been missed.
Thank you. That is very kind, Lisa. Appreciate it. Missed everybody just as much. We got AC up here. What's up? Good morning.
Hey, what's going on? Can you guys hear me?
Yep, we can hear you loud and clear. Tell us why. Why do you Bitcoin?
Yeah, well, before we do that, I kind of want to pile on to what Mickey said. You know, I was thinking about it over the weekend. We trust, right? Trust is one of those things that as we came up in the military, you know, we trusted the leadership of those above us and we trusted the government to lead us in the right direction. At least for me, the longer I was in the military, the higher in rank that I got, the more I started to see the holes in that trust. And I think that that's one of the things that brings a lot of people towards Bitcoin is, you know, the mantra of don't trust, but verify. You know, do we trust our money? Do we trust our government and the systems that they have implemented over time to basically, like Shane said earlier, to steal from the people? Or do we trust our food supply that we've been provided in seed oils? Do we trust the government and mainstream media and the message that they send to us, aka Noster, is a solution to that? So I think that there's a lot of things that Bitcoin really does fix. And it's one of those things that through at least my career in the military, I didn't realize until later on. And that's what really guided me and focused me towards Bitcoin. And that's kind of the gist of my story. It's out there on a couple different podcasts and we can talk about it at another time. I don't want to take up too much of the stage, but yeah, I think trust is one of those foundational things that leads a lot of people, especially military people, into Bitcoin.
Shane Hazel, why are you a Bitcoiner?
Man, I was about to come up here and say some stuff as well. I think it's really interesting to see all the different perspectives and what drives everybody to Bitcoin. You know, one of the reasons I think, you know, to answer Tomer's question directly is there's a lot of people that have studied history in this group. And I think, you know, especially the FAFO guys, you know, the guys that are at the sharp end of those little pointy lead things that fly down range, just kind of strikes a chord, right? And I think we talked about this a little bit on the show, is there are guys that are going to have to go out and do some really, really terrible stuff on, you know, in the past in terms of preserving your family, your land, your property. And when you understand history and it's just absolutely marked and marred with violent wars, all sorts of oppression, you start to sympathize with the guys that stood in the face of the greatest odds in the world and said, not here, not now. I will never, ever bend the knee to the oppressors, the tyrants. And when you become a man at some point, you know, you get to that point where are you going to be that person or are you not going to be that person? And I think a lot of the guys and gals here decided that we were not going to be those people. I'd rather sacrifice my life than be oppressed or be those people that are subjected to, you know, the horrors of a tyrannical government. And so for me, what I've always found is, you know, these guys, these warriors that will draw that red line in the sand, whether it's for themselves or for the people that can't stand up for themselves, which is a very Christian idea in the first place, is you take care of the meek and you take care of the downtrodden and the poor. This is that those people who have now embodied a new constitution, a new set of guidelines, a new incentive structure. And when we start to see that side of it, it is you really want to be that peaceful warrior in the garden. Because when it's time to be the warrior, you got to bury the gardener. You got to go out there and you got to say goodbye to everybody that you love. you got to tell them you got to go off and do things that you probably never want to talk about. And you're going to have to live with those things for the rest of your life. And I think that's one of the biggest reasons why we're so, you know, we gravitate so much towards this, is because the more we can unwind this kinetic, you know, spring that is fiat, that is really taken hold of the entire planet and now is unwinding as the empire collapses. I think this is where we see these people, because this fight, if we could do it our way, on our terms, it's peaceful. It's, hey guys, look, this system isn't working anymore. We're gonna take the exit hatch over here. We're gonna do this in as peacefully as possible. We're gonna give you guys every way out of this. We're gonna say, you guys go do whatever screwed up stuff over there. Don't do that over here, because we're drawing that line in the sand. And we want to be as peaceful as possible. And we're not actually attacking anything. We're just removing our support from your fiat system. And I think that's probably the reason why I'm here as a Bitcoiner. I think it's a reason why a lot of the fighters are here as Bitcoiners, is because they don't want to fight. They want it peaceful. And that is basically the last resort from going kinetic, is, hey, this is a peaceful technology. I'm just going to opt out of your system. See you later, and have a good one. But I don't want to play your game anymore.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. Okay, I want to say good morning to Puncher 75. Looks like former Navy, former Air Force fighter pilot, or maybe current. We're going to go to you in 1 second. Also want to say good morning to Joe McGee. Good morning. Welcome. We'll also go to you in one moment. I really quick want to hit our sponsors, and then we'll continue. Let these guys have a chance to talk, and then we'll start moving towards wrapping up the show for today. But want to say thank you to Slnt. That's slnt.com/BTCVets if you want to check that out. Basically, they do Faraday bags to protect your stuff, protect your gear. I want to shout out Black Sheep Ammunition. They are absolutely awesome. Go check them out. Solasatoshi.com. Those are the guys who are doing bid axes. Check this out. Imagine this for a second. Some government is like, mining is illegal. You can't do mining. So all the big mining companies have to shut down. Otherwise, their staff has to go to jail or whatever. But there's millions of people who all have one of these little Bedax miners running, cost you less than $5 a day, totally decentralizes the network. How are they going to stomp that out? Like, get on the mission, man. Let's go. Everybody should be running a freaking Bedax, in my opinion. Solasatoshi.com. The last thing is punchplate.com for your steel plates to secure them seed words, because them's important. All right. Puncher 75, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, guys. Happy to be here. I agree with, man, just a ton of what the veterans have already said. I've been on for quite a while. I got to jump to go get my teeth drilled, but I'll just say, I've been in Bitcoin since 2013. A fellow aviator, his call sign was Gadget. He's actually now with the NSA. He's the kind of guy who you'd walk into work and he'd have his iPhone splayed out in 50 different pieces, and he'd put it back together again to add some feature functionality. So guy's on a different level. But he told me about Bitcoin early on and got me involved, and I didn't quite get it until probably around the 2016, 2017 timeframe, where I just sold all my shit coins and the whole notion of DeFi and all that, and went deep down the rabbit hole. I think that a lot of guys who've been deployed in combat, and for me it's been 11, and again, I apologize for the acronym on my the pseudonym on my name. It's, my name is Kevin Kelly, but I got kicked off Twitter 3 times under the old regime, so had to come back with the pseudonym.
What kind of ornery MF-er are you to get kicked off of Twitter 3 times?
well, I talked quite a bit about ivermectin and the China virus.
Okay, banned for life. You're one of them kids, got you.
That's me. Yeah, I knew from day one. And by the way, I'm not anti. I wasn't. I'm like, guys in the military, no, we're like pin cushions. I've got a 6-page vaccine card that, you know, I really had no say in, but this thing was different, and I smelled color revolution all over it from the moment it started.
Yeah.
But anyway, I think a lot of in the aviation community and in the military in general, we have a pathological aversion to dysfunction, and we're noticing that our civilian leadership that, you know, that correctly has reign over the military has been corrupted. So now you get into ideas about corruption And someone brought it up before. We swore an oath to the Constitution, not to the government. So when we see them corrupting the Constitution and that we're living in a post-constitutional America, what is our duty to our oath? And I believe that it's to recognize the corruption and then take that power away from the corrupt government. And that's what Bitcoin does. Got to jump, guys. I'm going to be here quite a bit. And thanks for listening to me.
Thanks for coming up, man. Totally agree with everything you just said, brother. All right, Joe McGee, good morning.
Hey, good morning, and thanks for having me on. I still have all my teeth, so I'm not going to get drilled here in a second, but I will be quick. I just want to say one of the things that kind of got me into Bitcoin, I mean, just like everyone else, a piece of what everyone has said is the reason why I've gotten into it. But I think something we can all of us who have deployed can really relate to and have seen firsthand is the impact on the unbanked. I mean, even when we were trying to, you know, maybe do some good, you know, whether we were doing good or not downrange, you know, whether we were trying to help build communities or make sure that we were helping even establish some jobs or some infrastructure, whatever the case was. I mean, we've all seen it. Every ounce of dollars or whatever we put into those countries was confiscated pretty quickly, and those people were kind of left on their ass. So I think the ability to help the unbanked and maybe try to avoid or go around some of the corruption that is happening. You know, I think what Fetty was just released the other day. So, you know, just the ability to help some underprivileged areas, help the unbanked, because as we all know, and kind of like the book says, we kind of have check our financial privilege. So when they say that there's no use case for Bitcoin, not only do we know that's a load of crap, but we've all seen actual use case in person up front and see the value. That's all I got, guys. Thanks.
Thanks for coming up. All right, let's start going with some closing comments. If anybody has anything that they think is important they want to bring up, anything they want to share before we start getting ready to wrap up here.
Absolutely. Yeah, I was just going to say real quick, Alex, absolutely tickled to death to see all the initiative in this group. This is one of those things where, you know, the more signal that we can get out with this caliber of people, you know, talking Bitcoin and taking action from experience, I think this is going to blow things so wide open. You know, I think we're on the cusp of some real pushes in hyper Bitcoinization. And I think this group is going to be one of those groups that helps it along a lot. So kudos to everybody out there. Great work. And just absolutely proud as hell to be part of this whole thing. Great job.
Yeah, right there with you, Shane. This is becoming something bigger than any one individual person. Or group of people. This is really the power of it. The power of the network is really unstoppable. And so seeing this come to life and hearing the stories and knowing the caliber of humanity and the quality of the people that are a part of this is humbling and it's astonishing. And so this is how we do it. And just hearing everyone in here talking about ways to get engaged and ways to get plugged in. We're looking at a bunch of action-oriented people here. Okay, we're not here for the ride. We're not here to be on a cruise ship. Okay, we're here because it's a battleship and there's work to do. And that is what I'm seeing. And that is how we're going to move things forward in the direction that they need to go. And so it's awesome to be on this journey with each of you. And I'm looking forward to what's next.
Gabe, are you saying that the Veterans Bitcoin Cruise is off? Because, dude, I penciled out a huge chunk of time for that. I was looking forward to it. Talk to me.
Yeah, no, that's cool, man. Yeah, hop aboard. I can just tell you that some moments will be more relaxing than other moments.
Terrence, did you have a thought?
I was just thinking... I mean, we sort of covered this, but Tomer's question was, I'd never heard that before. And it just made me think about, you know, if I had served or if I had fought, I I might have come to Bitcoin even earlier because everything you guys said makes total sense. And just, you know, soldiers and it's like you guys are kind of like nodes in a way. You have to cooperate, right? You have to like really work together to achieve the goal. But at the same time, like Shane was saying, it's like it also opens your eyes to what is the goal and are we fighting for the right reason and are we being directed in the right direction? And it makes you question things at a level that most civilians like myself never ever get to see. We're just told the way things are and this happened and this is why it happened. And oh, that must be good. You know, we sit comfortably because you guys are out on the front line. But yeah, I just had never heard that before. I like thinking about that. I'm going to think some more about that because clearly there's a lot of veterans in Bitcoin. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah. More than I realized, more than I imagined, you know, when Shane and I first started talking about doing that, like they just started coming out of the woodwork. So by the way, we have a bunch of chat groups that we maintain separate from all of this. If you want to join, if you're a veteran, you're a Bitcoiner, and whether you're a Bitcoiner or whether you're curious about Bitcoin, hook up with us. And we got groups for all kinds of stuff, whether it's PTSD, camping, hiking, citadels, resilience, homesteading, ham radio, Mishtastic Network, self-custody, security, intel. Like, man, there's groups discussing all kinds of stuff, full of dudes growing every single day. So shoot a DM to the Bitcoin Veterans handle. We'll get you connected if you're interested in any of that. All right. Looks like that's a wrap. I just want to thank all of the speakers that joined today that helped out. Coleman, thanks for co-hosting. Terrence, it's good to see you. Dom, it's great to see you. Tomer out there in the wilds. Our guys, Wade, Gabe, AC, Shane, appreciate you guys, obviously. Jordan in the audience. Who else is out there? Randy K, appreciate you, brother. And of course, all of you who've come to listen to us, we appreciate all you very much. Thanks for being here. Like you've heard me talk about the mission in the past, possibly. If you haven't, basically what that means is this. We're basically at a crossroads with humanity. There's two ways we can go. You've got surveillance police state that controls every damn last thing that you do. They're going to want to know everything that you're doing. You're not going to be able to make a single transaction without their permission. Where there's freedom. And I don't know about you guys, but I kind of like the freedom path. And that's a line in the sand. I know a bunch of guys that will go to the absolute mat for that one. So that's the mission. We want to get the message out there to all the people, the 8 billion people on the planet that need to know about Bitcoin. That is the mission. Get on the mission. Let's go. We're going to do this every day, Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. Eastern. We will see you guys all tomorrow, hopefully. Love you guys. Everybody go out there. Have a great day and crush it.